Well, you know, as I mentioned, that first gig that Del played with Bill Monroe, he played on the five-string banjo. And I'll tell you, he could really play that thing.
Really?
Really. You had me fooled. No, he did a great job and actually was offered a job that night as a permanent, as permanent as a bluegrass boy ever got. And, job with Bill Monroe. And but of course, you know, here he is playing guitar. How did that happen, Del? You want to tell him about that?
It was against my will, I'll tell you that much. Because I'd heard Earl Scruggs, and I'd been picking that thing for 10 years then. I started playing when I was about 11, I guess, and trying to learn the Scruggs method, which is hard to do back then because he didn't have instructional videos. All it was a 78 RPM record. That was it, unless I'd go see him
but
somewhere.
But you could slow him down.
Well, you could slow it down, but you still didn't know what he was doing. He was just too, he was too fast for us guys. But you know, a lot of us in my age group heard Earl Scruggs at that time, like guys like J.D. Crow, Sonny Osborne, Alan Shelton. Those guys heard Earl, you know. And of course, Don Reno had already established himself. He was the, he was a counterpart of, I guess you
the
could say,
Earl.
He's the anti-Earl Scruggs, yeah. But they met each other when they were just teenagers in North Carolina. They were playing a radio show there. And I worked for Don Reno a little bit, and he had his own style of playing just like Earl did, you know. They played completely different. And anyway, he said every time they do this show, they were playing with these brothers. I can't remember the name of the brothers. The Salty Dog Blues.
Oh, and Morris Brothers.
The Morris Brothers, yeah. Anyway, Don was playing banjo there, and he said he'd see this guy come to the... Now, this is a long story. I hope it's okay. You know, in those radio stations, they had a glass where you could look in and watch the performers, you know. But when the red light was on, you couldn't go in the door. So you just had to wait till... If you wanted to go in, you had to wait till the door was... till the red light went out. But anyway, after the show, Don said, I would see this young guy about my age. He was a teenager. He'd watch us through the glass, but... And I think, well, I'd like to meet that guy, you know, because these guys he was playing with were old guys already. They were like in their 30s. And he wanted to meet this young fella. Well, he said, every time when the show was over, I'd go to the door, I'd put my banjo away and go to the door and look, and he's gone. I just couldn't see. I couldn't meet him, you know. And finally one day, he said, as soon as the red light went off up there, he said, I kept my banjo and I run for the door and went out and I caught the guy, and it was Earl Scruggs, you know. And that's when they met, and eventually they traded banjos. It's funny why they did that. I never understood that, but they traded, but both had great banjos back in the early days. But they traded banjos, and they both recorded with those banjos that they traded. Yeah. With. And I don't know where this story started, and I don't know where it's ended.
I think Don, one of them got a guitar, didn't he?
Yes, out of the trade. You got a banjo and guitar.
Well, who got that? I think Earl got it.
He might.
The guitar because...
It was a bad deal.
His banjo was in better shape than...
Yeah. But that was two of the best banjos ever built, really.
Yeah.
Now, we're supposed to do something here. What do you think we ought to do?
Well, I was leading up to why you didn't get that job. I mean, I hate to bring up these painful... memories like that, but this is kind of therapy for us anyway.
Yeah, it really is. Well, anyway, I didn't take the job, you know, that he had, he was talking about. No, I didn't right away. We played in New York City at the New York University, and that's the first time I'd ever been in New York City, you know, and Bill offered me a job, and I, for some reason, I was playing with an ex-bluegrass boy in Baltimore. Any of you folks ever been in Baltimore? Have you? Don't go back. No, don't let them know I said that. It's a good town, you know. But it was a hotbed for bluegrass in those days. I swear it was. In the 50s and 60s, there was a lot of bluegrass bands there. The first professional bluegrass band to ever play Carnegie Hall was a band in Baltimore playing a little club there. Earl Taylor and the Stony Mountain Boys. Now, they played Carnegie Hall before Flat and Scruggs, before Bill Monroe or any of the other guys, you know. But anyway, I was playing with a guy that played guitar in that band. His name was Jack Cook, and he was an ex-bluegrass boy. He had played with Bill, and I liked playing banjo with Jack, you know, so I just didn't take the job. I didn't take Bill up on it, but I thought, well, maybe I should. So about a month later, I thought, well, I'll go down to Nashville. I kind of dreaded it, you know. So I thought, well, I'll go down there and see if he still needs somebody. So I went down, and when I got there, he still needed a guitar player and a lead singer. And he had this young fella that was, well, he was my age. We were both 23, I think, at the time. That was, oh, I'm telling you, this guy said a long time ago, you better believe it. Anyway, his name was Brad Keith. Do you know who that is? Brad Keith. Bill Monroe said, now, what is your full name? And he said, William Bradford Keith. Well, he said, we'll call you Brad. Because he hired him on the banjo instead of me. Boy, and I didn't like that. He wanted me to play guitar and sing lead. Found out, wound up being Bill Keith on the banjo and recorded all those good instrumentals, you know. And I thought, yeah, he hired the right guy on the banjo. He did.
Well, we'd like to play a Bill Keith tribute medley. Yes. We lost Bill about a year ago, and he was a real good friend, and he was a real teacher, you know, to me. And of course, reinvented the banjo style, he brought a whole universe of banjo playing into bluegrass.
He did.
People like Bela Fleck and Tony Trischka and all the younger players, Noam, Pekelny, Pete Wernick, all these guys, you know, owe a huge debt to Bill Keith. And so we'd like to we're going to play a medley of three of the tunes he recorded with Bill Monroe about the first week he was there, because he had. And of course, I can't make this sound like a banjo.
He can.
No.
He's just kidding.
But we're going to play three tunes.